Mr. Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the show, Podcast World. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 837 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another great episode lined up for us. In today's show, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the show. I do want to start by sending a big thank you shout out to everybody who checked on me. That's right, I have not put out an episode in 2 weeks, and a lot of people have sent messages asking if I'm okay, if the podcast is okay, and the answer is yes, we are great. I took a vacation, I went to Vegas for a week, I got to see my favorite band, Fish, at the Sphere for 4 nights. The band was incredible, the Sphere was amazing, it was a great trip and I had a good time. So big thanks to everybody who checked on me. Yes, I am good, the show is good, and I am back ready to put out a great podcast episode for you. So once again, big thanks to everybody who checked on me. Now I do want to cordially invite you to the Dude Grows Growers Cup. That's right, June 1st in La Porte, Colorado, the Dude Grows crew is hosting the Dude Grows Growers Cup. The Dude Grows crew will be there. I will be there. White Mike will be there. The Irie Army will be there. And we all invite you to join us at the Dude Grows Growers Cup. Make sure you check dgccup.com for all of the information. Those tickets are selling quickly, so do get your tickets very soon. Get that travel locked in and get that hotel locked in so you can come hang out at the Dude Grows Growers Cup. Also, I do want to let you know that for the month of May, I have put all regular seeds on blowout pricing at iredirect.com. That's right. If you like regular seeds, I highly recommend you check iredirect.com for blowout pricing on regular seeds. The seeds will be on sale for the month of May, but act quickly because many of those seeds will sell out at that price. Make sure you go check iredirect.com for current pricing and inventory. Things are going to sell out very quickly, you guys, so make sure you hit the website as soon as possible. All right, I feel like we've covered all of the advertising here at the start of the show. Now it is time to talk about the most popular topic in the cannabis world this week. And of course, that is that the DEA has now announced that they are rescheduling cannabis to a Schedule 3 drug. That may have a lot of implications for the cannabis industry that could cause a lot of changes. So far, I do not know what to expect. This could be a good thing. This could also be a very detrimental thing for the cannabis industry. Will they ban home grows? Will they force a prescription on us for cannabis? Will this crush the industry? Will this override state laws and regulations? I am very curious to see what is going to happen. I am not ready to tell you anything or report anything on this new change. I'm sure we're all paying attention to it. As I understand it more, as we see how things roll out, Mike and I will do our best to keep you updated on the changes and what this does mean for our plant, for our industry, and for our community. But pay attention because they have now decided to reschedule cannabis to a Class 3 drug. Everything else that is Class 3 requires a prescription and strong oversight for production. So this could mean a lot of changes for our community and our industry. Stay tuned. I will do my best to have Mike and myself keep you guys updated on those changes and what we can expect and how they will change and affect the community and the industry. So that's what I've got for you today on Schedule 3. All right, Podcast World, now we are going to segue into the pet peeve portion of today's podcast. Everybody knows what a pet peeve is. It's something that just drives you crazy. Occasionally, I like to highlight a grow room or a cannabis community pet peeve. And today we are going to talk about unlabeled plants and disorganized grow spaces, disorganized mix spaces, and unorganized pesticide mix and storage areas. All of that disorganization simply drives me crazy. Organize your stuff, you guys. It would be so much easier to work in that grow space if you just put some things away, organize your stuff. It'd be more pleasurable to work in there. It would take less time. You would be more efficient. And I think you would just enjoy it. I enjoy a clean, tidy workspace. So every couple of days, once I notice that these bottles are moved around and my pH pen's over here and the scissors are over here. I'll just take a few minutes and just regroup and reorganize everything. That makes less chaos in the grow. If I don't have to look for a pH pen and look for scissors, if they're right there, I can spend that much more time focused on the tasks that I do need to get done in the grow. So the stuff that drives me crazy is just the disorganization in the grow room. By that, I mean, label your plants. Why aren't the plants labeled? Each plant should have a clear tag in it. And yes, this was inspired by my friend who always tells me he forgot to label a plant or forgot which plant we're smoking because he didn't write it down on the bag or something. Dude, label your stuff. All of you guys, label those pots. Label them redundantly. Sometimes I'll put a piece of duct tape on the pot with the name on it and then a plant tag inside the pot. Sometimes two plant tags, just depends on the process of that plant. But let's label all of the plants. Also, if you're running perpetual grows, if you've got multiple cycles in there, put the date that that plant went into flower on the plant tag and possibly in a grow journal, in a grow log, write that down. So let's update, organize, and try to be more proficient in the grow by cleaning everything up and being organized. Organize the grow space. Also organize that mix area. Clean up that mix area. Wherever you're pouring nutrients into your mixing container, shaking that shit up every day, I bet there's some drops, some dribbles that need to be cleaned up. I bet your measuring cups need to be cleaned up. If you use dry amendments, dried nutrients, I bet your scale needs to be cleaned up. Sweep and mop that area. Let's just clean all that stuff up. Show some pride in there. Also, that pesticide mix area. I really think that's an important area. Wherever your pesticides are stored, they should be, if you're in a commercial facility, those pesticides should be in some sort of a locked container, a locked receptacle, a closet, a cupboard, something that is locked. Also, clean up all of those bottles. You don't want pesticides dripping down the side of the bottle when you pick it up. You don't realize you got some on your glove, your hand, your finger. Then where is that going to end up? Your pants, your hair, your face, your food, the doorknobs. So let's clean off those bottles. After you pour, clean off the bottle. Put that pesticide in whatever, clean up whatever you use to transfer it. Let's try to clean up all that stuff. Have some pride in it. It's also about efficiency. It's also about safety, especially in that pesticide mix area. Another pet peeve of mine is when I ask a grower, when was the last time you did this? Or when did this happen in the grow? And they say, I don't know, I forgot. I did not forget because I wrote it down. When is the last time you applied a pesticide? When did you water last? When you watered last, what was in that mix? How many milliliters of each bottle went into that mix? How much water did you start with? What was the EC? What was the pH? Was there any runoff? Did you measure the EC and pH of the runoff? Mark all that stuff down. It drives me crazy when people say, I don't remember what I did. I don't remember either, but I wrote it down so I can scroll back or fold back in my pages and I can look and see what is going on in my grow space. So be more organized, clean up your stuff, organize your stuff, clean your tools, clean your space, and keep some notes of what's going on in that grow. Disorganization kind of drives me crazy, especially in a commercial environment, especially in a grow where a grower cannot identify a problem. What's going on in here, man? Well, what have you done the past few feedings? I don't know. It's really hard to diagnose a problem if you don't know what you have been putting into those plants. So that is my pet peeve for the day. Clean up, reorganize, take some notes, mark down the plants, just give it some basic love, some care, show some pride in that grow is what I think I'm trying to say. All right, we will wrap up the pet peeve section of today's show. If you have a grow room or a cannabis community pet peeve, I would love to hear from you. My email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Send me those grow room pet peeves. Put pet peeve in the subject line. If I do read your pet peeve here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, podcast world, before we segue into the grow help portion of today's podcast, please do click like and subscribe. That way you do not miss any episodes and it moves me up in the algorithm and we can get a few more viewers. That way more people can grow better ganja. All right, now we're going to work on the question and answer portion of today's show. I do have a website. On the top of that website, there's a list of tabs. One of those tabs says Grow Help. If you click on that Grow Help tab and send me your grow question, if I read your grow question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds off of iredirect.com. Today's first question came from our friend who wants to be called, I think it's Haji Tokesalot. Shout out to my new friend Tokesalot. The question says, I am new to growing. Well, welcome to the family, brother. It says, as my state recently legalized, congratulations. It says, I have only grown autoflowers all indoors in a grow tent setup. I will eventually try photo periods. I'm doing my research now, but I have questions about light leaks. Is this a real thing? I know where you're headed with this. Light leaks are a real thing, but indoors and outdoors, it is a completely different ballgame. So let's stick with the email. It says, hear me out. I'm listening, bro. It says, there is no place that I know of on Earth where cannabis grows outside that there are not stars. That's a very good point. Stars give off light, so I am confused about light leaks. That makes very good sense. Why must I have total darkness with no light leaks in my tent during lights out time? It just doesn't make sense to me. Please explain. Bro, that's what I'm here for. I'm explaining it to you. You will understand very well by the time I am done rambling. He wraps it up with, your podcast is great with lots of information and very informative. Thank you and keep up the great work. My friend Toxalot, thank you for the great compliment and thank you for the great question. The answer is, so there's a lot to this. It'll take me a minute to get there, but it will all make sense. So in an outdoor environment, as the sun sets, it begins to create a red spectrum of lighting. The sun's position in the sky relative to the atmosphere, relative to the earth, creates a red light spectrum. That red light is known as far red lighting. When the plants receive that far red lighting, that triggers what is known as a phytochrome red response in the plants. That phytochrome response basically tells those plants, hey ladies, the day is ending, it is time for you to brush your teeth and go to bed. So those plants will start putting their leaves down, they'll get a little bit droopy, and they will go to sleep, and then they will start their nighttime processes. Now that is triggered by that phytochrome or that far red light and the phytochrome response. This will happen before the sun sets completely. So one thing I do want to highlight here is I see people saying, I've got 14 hours of sunlight in my area, it's safe to put my plants out, they won't go into flower. That is not absolutely accurate. It is daylight, it is visible light, it is sunshiny a little bit for 14 hours, but the spectrums in which your plants are receiving are not the proper spectrum to keep that plant in a vegetative state for a continued state of time. Those plants, if you put them out right now, they will flower. As the sun rises in the morning, it puts off that blue spectrum that wakes them up and tells them, hey ladies, it's time to get the day going. But as it sets, that happens earlier than you're thinking because you may have 14 hours, but as it starts to set, that 13th, 12th hour may have already triggered that phytochrome red response and your plants are going to sleep. That's why many of you see your plants going into flower early outdoors. All right, now let's try to stay back on track here. We're talking about why the plants do need total darkness indoors versus outdoors. Now, when that phytochrome red response happens, these plants are in much more deep sleep than the plants that you have indoors because unless you're buying the new technology, there's only one light that I know of that's got that far red lighting. Unless you're introducing that far red lighting, it's taking much longer for your plants indoors to fall asleep. And just think about it like the sun is the most powerful light source you could ever imagine. We cannot replicate that. It is super powerful. It is the biggest light that there is. I'm trying to exaggerate about it, but that's all I could say. It's the most powerful light that there possibly is. Imagine trying to compare that to a bulb that's indoors. So if you run that sun all day, the plants are going, bro, I'm getting sun blasted compared to a 1,000-watt HPS bulb inside your basement. When it gets dark outside, it's way dark compared to how dark it is when it just gets dark in your basement without that 1,000-watt bulb. So the plants had that super, super sun compared to your 1,000-watt bulb. The amount of light that was hitting those plants all day long outdoors based on the amount of light that was hitting them indoors is drastically different. So we've got two things that will affect the interruption of the dark cycle here. At nighttime, outdoors, they've been put to sleep by that far red light. So they're tucked in. They're sleeping real good. They've been Cosby'd a little bit by the sun and told to go to sleep. Indoors, they were not tucked in, and the light that they're used to isn't super intense. So if they do get a little bit of light, they think it's just like the normal grow light that they normally get. They go, is that it? And they think that that might actually be the light that they're supposed to react to and photosynthesize for and schedule themselves on. But if it's in the sun and then you get a little, like a car driving by or a flashlight passing by, it goes, no, that wasn't nearly the light that I'm supposed to wake up for. So we've got the far red lighting, the phytochrome response outdoors, and then we've got the drastic differences in amount of light and intensity and spectrum that make a huge difference. So what I'm trying to say is that far red light tucks your plants in, and stars, the moon, things like that won't interrupt the plant because of that. Nature had that figured out, man. John knew that that was going to happen when he made all these things. He's like, I got to leave a little bit of lights on for all the people that like to hang out at night. So he put some stars and a moon up there. But he's like, I can't mess up the plants. So he put some far red lighting up there to put those plants to sleep. That is just my quick description of it. Indoors, you're not getting that far red lighting, so they're not getting tucked in. And also the amount of light that is interrupting versus the amount of light that they are used to is not very far apart, not different. So the plants don't know if they're supposed to wake up or not. So they do wake up. That, my friend, is why it is much more critical to have that uninterrupted darkness indoors, that dark period, than it is outdoors. I hope that made sense. Leave your comments, your questions, and your concerns in the comment section down below. I look forward to reading that. All right, my dude, Tokes-a-Lot, since I read your question here on the podcast, that means you win a coupon code for a free pack of seeds off of iRedirect. I've got your email address. Make sure you check your spam if you don't see the message, because by the time this podcast comes out, you will have a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. All right, I'm going to try to keep this momentum moving before I get more tongue-tied reading names. This next message came from Patreon. Shout out to all my Patreon supporters. Make sure you check out patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Check out the bonus tiers there. This one came from my friend Theo. Shout out to Theo. This question says, hey, Rasta Jeff. What's up, Theo? Good to meet you, bro. It says, I've got a quick question for you. Well, I've got a good answer for you, my dude. It says, I'm going on vacation for a week, and I'm planning on switching my photo period plants from 24 hours on and 0 hours off to 18 hours on and 6 hours off to help them conserve water. Would there be any negatives from doing this, like potentially initiating flower? My dude, no, this is basically what I do, something similar to this when I go on vacation, when I go out of town. If I know I'm going to take off, I do make adjustments sort of like this. My first thing, though, that I want to say is you got them on 24 hours on and 0 hours off. I would always recommend giving these plants just a few hours of darkness, 4 hours, five, maybe 6 hours of darkness per night. All living things like a nap. You like a nap. The cat and the dog obviously like a nap. I think all living things would like some sleep time. So I would give the plants a few hours, at least four to 6 hours every night to sleep with lights off. A lot of processes that happen in the root zone happen during the nighttime process of our plants. So during that dark cycle, a lot of stuff is happening in the root zone. So it's very beneficial to give them some sleep time. Also, the plants will just look better. I think I have ran plants on 24 hours on before. They start to get a little stretchy. They start to look a little tired. Things get kind of weird. If you give them time to sleep, I feel like they stay stockier, bushier. They just look more healthy overall, just like you would. If I ran you for 24 hours for a week, you'd start to look a little frazzled and fucked up too. The plants do the same thing. Also, you're going to save electricity on your equipment. 4 hours off, 5 days, you're already saving 20 hours of kilowatts. If you're running a 1,000-watt light, that will add up quite quickly. You will notice that in the electric bill. So the first thing I would do is I would say, yes, immediately, bro, change those lights to 18.6. That will be a good thing. Other things that I do, I wrote down a couple of things. I just did go on vacation. I was able to go for 7 days without watering the plants, which is quite fantastic for a grower who likes to grow and has things going on. Anyway, I was able to go away for 7 days. What I did was the night before I went, I defoliated very heavily. I topped a couple of the larger plants. I watered excessively, so there was still water left in the trays, but not enough to drown the plants. I know my plants well enough. I just watered heavily. There's still water left in the tray. That'll buy me a day or two. But then I reduced my lights. I've got LED lighting that I could just go turn a knob. I turned them down to 50%. I also reduced my timer to 16 hours on. So my plants were only getting 16 hours a day for the amount of time that I was gone. That's enough to keep them awake and not let them go into flower. And for just a week, it was going to be just fine. Then I also reduced all of the fans. That way the fans weren't blowing around in there super crazy. That will dry out the plants more quickly. So my steps were to overwater, defoliate. I topped a couple of plants. I reduced the lighting. I reduced the fans. And I actually even unplugged one of my lights because there's plenty of light in that room. And I really didn't need that light going. I just slowed the plants down for a solid week. When I came back, everybody was super happy. So I think what you're doing, your idea will work perfectly, but also reduce the fans, reduce the intensity of the light. And if you could do it, maybe overwater them just a little tiny bit. All right, my dude Theo, I hope my advice worked for you. I hope you enjoy your vacation. Have fun wherever you're going. I hope those plants look great when you come back. Also, make sure you check your email. Actually, check your Patreon inbox because I'm going to send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iRedirect. But check your Patreon inbox because that's where the message will go. Once again, thanks, Theo. Good question. Let's keep this party moving. I've got another good question here in front of us. This one came from the Grow Help tab on iRegenetics.com. This one came from my buddy Mighty Mike. Mighty Mike, my dude, make sure you check your email because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iRedirect.com. Mighty Mike has a good question. It's a mighty question. It says, "Hi, Rasta Jeff. I've been an avid listener, and I can't thank you enough for all you do for the community. My bro, thank you. Every time somebody says that, it means a lot to me. It recharges me. It gives me some fuel. So thank you. I do appreciate it. Those words do not go unnoticed. Thank you for being part of the community that we have established here." It goes on. It says, I recently started pollen chucking, and I've been trying to understand how to breed auto-flowering capabilities into a photoperiod plant. Will the auto-flower feature need to come from the male or the female part, or does that matter? Thanks for the response, and give your mom a big hug. Hey, wait, I don't hug my mom. You hug your mom. That's backwards, bro. All right, this is a great question. I do have a good answer for you. So the question, this listener, this viewer, this community member wants to breed autoflower plants. They're asking, if when they make autoflowers, does the male or the female part of this equation need to be the autoflower to make the breeding work? Let me start by saying I am not an autoflower breeder. I have never done autoflowers. I will not do autoflowers. I have friends that are in the business with me that have some of my plants, and they are working my stuff into autoflowers, but I am not doing it. I give advice. I give suggestions. I help with selection, but overall, that is their project. I have two friends doing autoflower projects, two different companies. Love, trust, and respect both of them and fully endorse them, but autos are not for me. That being said, I'm not the autoflower maker as well, so this advice is not 100% solid in my opinion. This is from my opinion, my breeding experience, my knowledge. I have never done this. I'm kind of pulling this out of my ass. So with that being said, from my breeding understanding, if you want to make autoflower seeds, you need one autoflower plant to begin with, and that does not matter if that is the male or the female. I want to say do the male, because I just like what male plants contribute to the mix, and I feel more confident intuitively telling you to use the male. I really don't believe that there would be a difference. As long as one is autoflower, well, you're going to have to, as long as one is autoflower, you should be able to create autoflower progeny. However, it's not going to be the first filial generation. So let's just say, for my advice, you chose an autoflower male. Now, let's just say, so what I'm going to say, we're going to skip you a step. We're going to save problems here. I'm going to come up with a genius idea. We're not even going to have a male plant. We're going to do feminized seeds. So what you're going to do, find an autoflower female that you like, because most of the autoflowers you buy are going to be fems. So find an autoflower female that you like, reverse that. That one will make pollen. Put that autoflower reversed pollen on a photoperiod female plant. That will start the process of making feminized autoflower plants for you. So after that step one of reversing an autoflower, taking that pollen, putting it on a regular plant, you're going to make seeds. Now, you've got to grow those seeds. Find another autoflower plant and another autoflower plant. You're only going to be able to tell because they're going to flower on their own. That's the only way to figure this out. But you would select one of those that you really like and reverse that one and put that pollen on another autoflower female. Now you've doubled up the possibilities, doubled up the amount of genetics in that plant that will be autoflower. The likelihood of the next filial generation showing autoflower is much more likely if you did the selections correctly. So you're going to have to reverse a plant, pollinate a plant, reverse a plant, pollinate a plant, and keep going. And eventually by the third or fourth time, those plants should be autoflower plants. Those will be feminized autoflower plants if you do it correctly. Now, I do keep saying if you do it correctly, selection is the most important part of this process, and I am not an autoflower grower or breeder, so I don't even know what to tell you to look for when it comes to selecting autoflower plants. But what I do know is that if you want to move that autoflower gene and make that autoflower gene a dominant trait in those plants, you need an autoflower plant and a photoperiod. breed that. The first batch is going to have some autos and some photos. Find your autos and breed those together again. That next batch will be mostly autos and some photos. Find more autos and breed those together. Do it again. It'll take 3 or 4 tries before everything starts coming out auto flower. You can keep going and lock in the traits you really desire if that's what you want to do. That's what I would recommend. But by the 3rd or 4th filial generation, you should have pretty uniform, homogeneous autoflower feminized seeds. And once again, let me give a disclaimer. I am not an autoflower breeder, autoflower smoker, autoflower grower. I don't know a lot about autoflowers, but I do understand genetics, and I think my advice should apply accurately. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, argue in the comments. Let me know what you think about my autoflower advice. If I'm completely way off, let me know. If I'm spot on, let me know. If I'm somewhere in the middle, give me half credit. Let me pass the class, bro. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. If you like this episode, once again, please do click that like and subscribe button. That way you never miss an episode. That way I get more notice in the algorithm. Then more people can grow better ganja. That way everywhere we go, people will be growing the dank all over the place. You won't just be relying on your own grow. Our friends will have good weed too. I'm freaking rambling. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, I would love to hear from you. My email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Send me that constructive criticism, that positive feedback. If you've got hate mail, I can take that as well. Don't be shy. growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Also, check out Patreon at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Everything else you could possibly need is on my website. Once again, that is iregenetics.com. There's a link to the Patreon, a link to the Discord, a link to get the seeds, a link to get the merchandise. Everything, once again, iregenetics.com. I think that's all I've got for you for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my new friend, Vlad the Inhaler. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.